reading of the Word of God this morning. I'm afraid it may be a little difficult to preach. I might talk to you a little while, but I don't know exactly how much preaching I'm going to be able to do. But I'm going to talk to you a little while anyway, do my best out of the Word of God, and try to be an encouragement to you if I can this morning. Try to be a blessing to the house of God. I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms and chapter number 92. Psalms and chapter number 92, if you would please. I don't have my watch with me today. I broke the band again. I don't even know what time it is. Is it after 12 yet? 15 till. All right. Psalm chapter number 92. Thank you, Brother Steve. And for the sake of time, we're just going to read the last four verses. We'll begin reading in verse number 12 of this psalm, where the Bible said, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Amen. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him." Now may the Lord add His blessing. What a wonderful few verses of Scripture that we have to deal with this morning. And I know I'll never do them justice, but I do want to try to do a little something with them that maybe the Lord can take and use in your life. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. I thank You that it's forever settled in heaven. I thank You, Lord, that there are no mistakes in it, that it's all truth, it's holy, it's righteous, and it's beneficial to our lives. It can bless us when we're low and down. Lord, it can stir us when we get settled. It can correct us when we get out of the way. It can enlighten us that we might walk in the way. And I pray this morning for the power of God. Lord, I pray for that anointing power of the Spirit of God. I'd ask You, Lord, today to anoint me with that oil of gladness. And let me preach to Your people the precious Word of God. I know, Lord, that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word. And so may they hear the Word of God today in their heart, not just in the hearing only, but in the understanding as well, that they might be nourished and brought up in the way of the Lord. I pray You'll turn our hearts from sin and from the world and turn us unto Thee that we might experience an old-fashioned revival, a sin-killing revival. I pray now, Lord, for liberty and to be able to magnify and glorify the wonderful name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to preach for a little while this morning out of these verses, and I may not be able to do it in my notes, just notes, and so I may not be able to do anything more than just talk to you for a little while, speak to you, but I want to try to preach for a little while on the thought of the prosperity of the planet. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And so I want to preach on that for a little while, the prosperity of the planet. I do believe that the Lord wants you and I, as His children, to be prosperous. Not necessarily in the world's goods and possessions of this life, but God wants us to be prosperous in spiritual matters. And to be able to live a godly and a holy life that will bring glory and honor to His wonderful name. Now, the word flourish is used twice in our text, once in verse number 12, and then again in verse number 13. He says in verse number 12 that the righteous shall flourish. And then he illustrates that by saying that they will be like a palm tree, or they'll grow like a cedar that's planted in Lebanon. And then in verse 13, the word flourish is used again when it talks about being planted in the house of the Lord. And those that are planted in the house of the Lord, the Bible said that they shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now, that word, and I want to mention four words, and then I want to go back and talk about them just a little while. But that word flourish literally means to spring up. It means to bud. It means to blossom. And it means to fly by extending wings. And I see in this four stages in our Christian growth. And that's basically what I want to deal with a little while, not really a whole lot, but a little while on our Christian growth. I believe according to this passage of Scripture that they that are planted in the house of the Lord will grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. They will not only spring up, but they will bud. They will not only bud, but they will also blossom. And they will not only blossom, but they will take wings as an eagle, waiting patiently upon the Lord, and will learn to be eagle Christian. I think that's really where God wants us to get to in our Christian life, that we can mount up with wings as eagles and be eagle Christian. I saw a thing on a man's desk one time, a preacher's desk. He said it's hard to soar like an eagle when you work with buzzards or something of that nature. And I thought how true that is, but they're not all buzzards. I'm glad there are some folks in the house of God that have been planted there long enough that they've matured enough in their Christianity and made it through these stages of their life, that they are flourishing in the courts of our God, that they are prospering in the courts of God. That is, that they are amounting to something in the church house. I believe that's exactly what our Lord is trying to get across to us here, is that we are to be somebody down at the house of God. We're not just to be people that sit on a church pew and warm that pew, but we are to be active in the work and the service of God, and we are to flourish in whatever we're doing. Hey, whatever we do, the Bible said we ought to do heartily as unto the Lord. Praise God, if I'm going to, hey, whatever I do, I am going to put all that I can put into whatever I'm doing. Yeah. I've had preachers that tell me, Brother Hall, you're getting old, you need to slow down. Well, I haven't really found a place to slow down. I know I am slowing down, but I'll guarantee it is against my will, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. I can't seem to get my body and my will in the same gear. My will is in a little higher gear than what my body's in. My will wants to kick, but my body won't kick as high as what it used to. And my will every now and then wants to take a lap, but my body won't let me take a lap like I used to. Are you listening to me? My will wants to jump every now and then, but my body just won't let me jump. But I'll guarantee you what I can do, I am going to do down in the house of the Lord. I want to flourish in the courts of our God. And I'll tell you why. Because I have been planted there by the grace of Almighty God. Amen. Is anybody listening? Now listen carefully. I said I see four stages of Christian growth. To spring up. One day we were lost. Can you remember that day when you were lost? Then suddenly, through the workings of God, light sprung up and we were saved by the marvelous grace of God and became new creatures in Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you, salvation, bringing us to that point, may take a little while. But I'm telling you that it doesn't take long to be saved. I remember the morning I knelt at an altar, lost, and suddenly life sprung up and I was saved. Amen. That's exactly the way life is. In fact, It says in Psalm chapter 85, and you don't need to turn there unless you just want to, but in Psalm number 85 and verse number 11, it talks about truth shall spring out of the earth. And that's the way it is with salvation with you and I. One day we were lost, but suddenly life just sprung up in us. Amen. Just all of a sudden that day, Paul was on the road to Damascus, lost and on his way to hell. But suddenly, ladies and gentlemen, when he saw that life, immediately life sprung up. Now, I want to say something right here. I believe Paul was saved the moment he saw that light. I believe he was saved the moment he saw that light. Thank God that God gives sinners light to be saved. Amen. He's not only life, ladies and gentlemen, but He is the light of the world. And if a sinner ever sees that light, I'll guarantee you life will suddenly spring up in him. Amen. That's right. And so we talk about flourish, we talk about springing up, and then we bud. And at first, we appear to be barren. You ever seen a little blade of corn spring up? Nothing on it. You look at that and you wonder, why, it's barren. There's no fruit on that blade of corn. But I'll guarantee you, if that blade of corn is nourished in the right manner, if it gets enough sunlight, and if it gets enough water, and it gets enough nutrients, ladies and gentlemen, I'll guarantee what it'll do. It will grow up and one day will produce fruit for the glory of God. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying when a Christian gets saved, don't get in too big of a hurry thinking you're going to form or develop overnight. It just don't happen that way. It takes just a little while. Hallelujah to God. But if you'll stay planted in the court of your God, if you'll stay planted in the house of God, the Lord will begin to put a little bit of water of the Word of God there. Amen. And He'll put just the right amount of the sunlight of His love there. And that little blade will begin to grow. And someday, come on now, someday after springing up and that little bud coming out, that next step is that it will blossom, ladies and gentlemen. It'll blossom, amen. And that's when you begin to notice life. I've noticed that in young Christians, that they're barren for a while. But boy, when that little blossom comes out, hallelujah to God, that gives me real understanding that there is life there and that fruit will soon follow. Come on in the house and help Brother Hall a little while this morning. Yes, sir, when that blossom appears, our life begins to take shape. Grace is working and fruit is soon to appear. Come on in the house now. Thank God for the workings of grace. Now I want to say it's all of grace. It's grace that plants us, ladies and gentlemen. It's grace that springs us up, ladies and gentlemen. It's grace that brings on that little bud. It's grace that brings on that blossom. And it's grace that will develop us and grace that will cause us to man up with wings of eagles and to flourish in the courts of our God. I'm telling you, God wants you to flourish down at the church house. Amen. God doesn't want any barren Christians on the pews. Amen. Come on now. Help me out a little bit. God wants us to flourish. We'll mount up with wings of eagles. These are all the steps leading up to Christian maturity, fruitfulness, and prosperity. The righteous shall flourish. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish. Come on now. Amen. Come on and help me. Now, the word flourishing is used in verse number 14. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. And so that is three times that word or the form of that word is used in these verses that I mentioned to you. That's right. Now notice the first, And by the way, there's three groups of people. I ain't got to my message yet. There's three groups of people here that we see flourishing. Number one, we're going to see that the righteous are flourishing. I'm going to tell you what's wrong today. Everybody look right up here at me. It's like the big man said preaching one time, sin, 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 sin. You're not going to flourish in the courts of God with sin in our life. And I didn't want to get on this, but I'm telling you, sin is going to have to be dealt with, ladies and gentlemen, before there is ever any fruitfulness in our lives down at the church house. Well, I'm going to tell you, I wonder how we're flourishing. We come and we sing, praise God, like God's dead. We come and pray like God never hears. Come on now, we come to the church house, conduct ourselves like the God that we've come to worship is dead. Like I said last week, He's not dead. Praise God, He's right here with us. The Bible said that He's with us even unto the end of the world. And I believe what the Bible says. Hallelujah to God. I believe that He's here this morning in the house of God, right here where we're at. Amen. And if we'll deal with our sin and get right with God, I'll tell you what He'll do. He'll pull the veil back and manifest Himself to us in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. The righteous, He says. Shall you wonder what's wrong in our Baptist churches? He doesn't say anything about the ungodly flourishing. He didn't say anything about the wicked flourishing. We've got a bunch of television watching. Amen. Come on in the house. How in heaven's name can we come to church with our mind on God when we've watched that mess all week? We got the world on our mind. We've got making money on our mind. We've got everything on our mind but God on our mind. And it said, oh, we're not committing adultery. We wouldn't do that. We're not whoremongering. We wouldn't do that. We're not running out and getting drunk. We wouldn't do that. We wouldn't go to the theater. Somebody might see us, but we'll take the theater to home. Then we wonder why we're not flourishing down at the house of God. Woo-wee! Ain't we having fun this morning? The righteous. Those that are right with God, not those that are wrong, but the righteous, ladies and gentlemen. The righteous, I said, the righteous shall flourish down at the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now they'll flourish like a palm tree. Amen. Now I'm not going to tarry long on this, but the palm tree has an ability to stand against strong winds and against storms. I'll tell you something about the palm. He might bend, but he very seldom breaks. God said the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. In other words, the righteous, ladies and gentlemen, can withstand the storms of life. Amen. Though the storms of life are raging like the song said this morning, He'll stand by me. Hallelujah to God. Amen. And the righteous flourish like a palm tree. Let the winds blow. Let the storms come our way. If you're right with God, I won't say this. If you're right with God, there is nothing that can take you down. Nothing. Not one thing. The righteous flourish like a palm tree. While some of you crumple, the first time a little trouble comes your way, got sin somewhere in your life. Who was it sitting at the house? Oh, I believe it was Brother Doug and Lisa sitting at the house on Saturday. And said that their preacher in Arizona told them that discouragement was sin. Said they didn't like that. They didn't believe that. I'm here to tell you he's right. He is right. We might get discouraged, but bless your heart, there's no reason to stay there. When David got discouraged in Psalm 42, he said, "Hope thou in God." He said, "I am cast down, I am discouraged, but I'm going to hope in God." And that's where the sin comes in. When we grow discouraged, rather than putting our faith and hope in God, we let the discouragement drag us down so low that we can't get up for a while. The Bible said that anything that's not of faith is sin. Anybody listening? I think I lost some of you on that one. He said they'll be like a cedars of Lebanon. Now get this. A tree that the cedars of Lebanon are known for their strength, for their fragrance, and their incorruptibility. You know, you can lie in your closet with cedar and there won't any bugs get in there. The old timers used to cut down cedar, little cedar trees, to make fence posts out of them. You know why? They wouldn't rot. They wouldn't rot in the ground. He said the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree and like the cedars of Lebanon. Praise God, they'll be strong in their life. They'll put out a fragrance, ladies and gentlemen, that is an odor unto God of a sweet smell. And I'm going to tell you something else. There's no corruption in them. Woo! Get this now. Even though they be planted, we should honestly say there's no corruption in them, because they, even though they're planted, that old body's going to get up. Yeah. Brother Steve said this morning, in Sunday school, said, "I'm hoping I'll go in the rapture." Well, I hope he does too. I'd hate to see him die and go to hell. Because all the saints going in the rapture, and I knew what he meant. What he was saying was, "I don't want to go to the grave. I want to go to the rapture, one of those that are alive and remaining." Now, I understand, but I know what he was saying. I'm just making a joke now, trying to get your attention. And he said, I want to go in the rapture. Oh, praise God. I hope that I go alive and remain it too. I'm not looking forward to the ground myself. But if I go, and I'm righteous, that Bible says, praise God, I'll be like a cedar of Lebanon, incorruptible. This corruption shall put on incorruption. Hallelujah. This mortal put on immortality. I got to hurry. I'll never get to the message. Then he talks about those that are planted in the Lord's house. They flourish. They're not. Now get this. I want you to get a hold of this verse. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, they're not growing there of their own accord. They've been planted there. Amen. Amen. Don't want to lose none of you Armenians now. Amen. You know what that word planted literally means? Transplanted. Amen. Praise God, that means God went out into the forest of sin and uprooted you in the forest of sin and planted you in the house of God. Come on, every one of you in here this morning that know that you've been to Calvary, get a hold of this. God went out into the forest of sin and ungodliness and found you out there in your corruptible condition. And God uprooted you. God turned your whole life around. When God saved me, I tell you, He uprooted my whole life. I thought, what on earth is going on? There's some changes taking place that I just didn't dream would ever take place. I'm saying God literally uprooted my life, ladies and gentlemen, and turned right around and planted me again down in the house of God. And when He planted me there, He said, "Flourish." Be fruitful, mature, grow, get strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody in here been transplanted?
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Can you imagine a little old tree standing out in the woods? And I can't help but to believe that it's one of the little runts that just... the big giant oaks are standing there around it. And they're bragging and boasting on their strength and their durability and their beauty. There's a little old run of a sapling there that doesn't look like it's ever going to amount to anything. Here comes God walking through that forest. And like the sons of Jesse, they say, "Surely we are the Lord's anointed." But the Lord doesn't look upon their stature. God looks upon the heart, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
He looked down at the heart of that little old sapling that was you, that was a nobody in the forest,
Amen.
That had very little to offer, no leaves to give shade by, no strength at all, and God uprooted you out of the forest,
Amen.
And brought you to the house of God and planted you there. And watered you there, and nurtured you there, and fed you there. Oh, whoo, I'm about to have a spell. And all of a sudden, praise God, something happened. You begin to grow in stature. Amen. You begin to grow in the Lord and mature in the Lord. And it wasn't long until you were flourishing in the courts of God. Like a Daniel in the court of the king. Praise God, like a Joseph, a governor in all Egypt. Like David, that was a nobody, a little ruddy boy that God took out of the sheepfold and planted in the court of God and made a somebody out of him. We got anybody flourishing in here this morning? The righteous will flourish. Those that are planted in the house of God, they'll flourish. Now, I'm bound to say a couple other things here. I'm bound to say, after they were taken, planted in the Lord's house, grounded in truth, it's difficult to get them out. Somebody said, "Well, I've seen them leave. I have too. But I'm going to tell you, I don't know who uprooted them."
Amen.
God will never plant you in this house, then unplant you. They might leave, but I'm going to tell you, they didn't have any root.
Amen.
They had no root within themselves.
Amen.
And they left, ladies and gentlemen, because they had not been planted there by God.
Amen.
Come on in the house now.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
That's right.
When I got planted out the church house and took root, praise God, I found my place.
Amen.
I found my people. I found my power. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm about to run my head through a wall. Praise God. I found the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of our God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Praise God. I'm planted in the courts of the Lord.
Amen.
That's right. Now, notice something else. Not only those that are righteous flourish, those that are planted flourish, but I'm going to tell you something else. Notice verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age.
Amen.
They shall be fat and flourishing.
Amen.
Guess y'all over here didn't get to see that.
Amen.
They'll be fat and flourishing. In old age now, they get this now, they have matured beyond flourishing. Old age there, the word there, flourishing, means evergreen.
Amen.
They're just always green. They're never out of season, friend.
Amen.
And they're not just flourishing, they're fat and flourishing.
Amen.
God really helped them. And I'm saying that spiritually. I'm not saying that as a joke. Now, I kind of joked about it, but I'm telling you the truth about it. There is no reason for old age to hinder us from being productive or from flourishing in the house of God.
Yeah.
In fact, the older we get, praise God, the greater ability we are to have to be a blessing to those that are around us.
Yeah.
That old man, Brother Steve, that was down at Brother Allen's last June, old Brother Berman Cape, I'm going to tell you that old man got up there. I know I'm getting ready to get on some of you's old God. Now, I'm telling you, old Brother Berman Cape had more God on him than Phil Kidd and the whole outfit that was around him.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
That old man, hey, you know why? He was old and aged, and God had not only made him to flourish, but God had made him fat and flourishing.
Amen.
Went over to Brother Milby's camp meeting a few years ago, and I think the old preacher's dead now. But he had pastored the same church for 52 years. The same church. Now I'm going to tell you, that old man opened his Bible, took a text, and away he went. When he got up there, I said, that old man, what's he going to have? But it wasn't necessarily his aerobics in the pulpit. It was the gracious words that flowed from his mouth. And they flowed graciously because there was a gracious Lord that was on the inside of his heart providing and producing all and everything that he said.
Amen.
Praise God. And I'm telling that old man, bless my heart that day. The Bible said that even in our old age, we'll be fat and flourishing. And look here. And I'm not going to preach on this, but it's in the Bible. They'll be fat and flourishing. Do you know why? I don't even have the next verse in my notes. But verse 15 said, to show that the Lord is upright.
Amen.
Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? I mean the Lord's not going to let us down in old age.
Amen.
If we drift off and dry up in old age, God said it would prove that God is not upright. God's not about to leave us when we grow old.
Amen.
Praise God, make a dead man get happy. He ain't left you, Brother Robert. Don't let that tumor get the best of you. God's on the throne. Praise God, He said it. Be right there with the aged. Right there with us when we grow old. Right there with us when our friends forsake us because we're too old to cut the mustard anymore. Too old to run with the young bucks. Thank God, God's right back there with us. And probably got more God on us than what the young bucks has got.
Amen.
I've heard a lot of young preachers today, and I've heard a lot of them rattle, but they ain't seen much God.
Amen.
I could name some names, but I won't do it for fear somebody be listening out offend somebody. But I know some young preachers that'll rattle a lot. They got a lot of noise, ladies and gentlemen. But they don't have, hey, they got a lot of zeal, ladies and gentlemen. But they don't have much knowledge with that zeal.
Amen.
Come on in the house.
Amen.
Son, you better have a little knowledge along with that zeal.
Amen.
Amen. I don't take an ounce of credit for it, but had a preacher call me this morning. He said, preacher, I'm going to tell you something. He said, it's just a job today to keep what you got. We're doing a fairly decent job of it, Brother Steve.
Amen.
You know why? Because you that are here, you're planted. You're planted. And you've been rooted and grounded in the truth.
Amen.
Amen. Not because it's me, but you know as well as you know you're living, I've told you that if you abandon the ship, you cannot be saved. That's what the Bible says. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on in the house. Now, I only got to my outline.
Amen.
When I'm old, Psalm 71:18 said, now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God,
amen,
forsake me not till I have showed thy strength unto this generation, thy power to everyone that is to come. I thought about, when I wrote that down, I thought about Brother Robert. He's facing that surgery. And he's not a young man anymore. But I thought he's got a good opportunity. And I don't know what that surgery holds. And I don't know the condition. I'm just being right up front with you. I don't know the condition that it'll leave Brother Robert in. But I tell you, there's enough grace that whatever condition it leaves him in, he can still look at his children and wife and say, unto God be the glory. What I am by the grace of God. And God has had his way in my life. Hallelujah. And whatever God wants in my life, then let her be done for my good and the glory of God. He's never made a mistake. He's too wise to make a mistake, and he loves us too much to do us wrong even when we're old, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you, let me just switch. When we're young, praise God, he loves us too much to do us wrong. When we're middle-aged, he's too wise to make a mistake. I stood up there this morning. And I looked at all them little old children putting their money in that jug. Amen. Little babies. Yeah. And I can remember the time when there wasn't a baby in this church. And we're not a big church, but we sure got a lot. And Doug and Lisa wasn't even here. And I don't believe KK got up there. I believe she was on her logs. But I looked at all them little old children. Brother Andy's little granddaughter wasn't nothing more. I think all them little children. And I think, praise the Lord. And get this. Somebody has been planted in the house of God, and they begin to produce. Amen. For God. What, Brother Hall? Offsprings. Amen. Somebody to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Amen. Somebody that'll take the place. And if I can get this verse right, somebody that will be baptized for the dead. You don't understand that verse of Scripture. But Paul talks about those that are baptized for the dead. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about them little offsprings coming along that God saves. And they're baptized and they take the place of us old rascals that went on out in the glory.
Amen.
Being baptized for the dead. God has allowed some of you to have offsprings. Yep. It'll be baptized for the dead.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. You may not be having fun, but I'm telling you, I'm having myself a ball this morning.
Amen.
You know why? Because I love you.
Yep.
And I want to see you get some help. You're bound to be planted, or some of you, surely I'd have run some of you off a long time ago.
Amen.
What are you talking about? I told you got your hair bobbed off. You ain't got no right to talk like that. Now, let me ask you something. And I'll be quick. Where do we prosper? Three times he talks about prospering. The righteous, the planted, the old people. They flourish. Wherein do we flourish? And I hope that I can get this out all right. And it's just so simple. But we'll flourish in personal sanctification.
Amen.
I want everybody to listen to me right now. Please listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Sanctification doesn't necessarily mean dress standards and looking right. That's part of it. But that's not all of it.
Amen.
To be sanctified means to be set apart.
Amen.
As a holy vessel for the Lord.
Amen.
Listen carefully. God does not set you apart and then make you holy. God sets you apart because you are holy.
Amen.
And setting you apart as a holy vessel, God expects you to flourish in the courts of God as a vessel meet for the Master's use. Listen carefully. How can we flourish in personal sanctification? I want to say, number one, we can flourish as a helper. Now, I'm getting ready to knock some of you men out of your seat. I want some of you ladies to get ready to get up and pick them up and put them back in their seats, okay? Because I'm getting ready to put the hammer on some of them that think they're macho. I'm getting ready to put the hammer on some of them that thinks that the women are doormats. and that the women have no place in the house of God. I've never preached this verse of Scripture, but Romans 16, 1 and 2, he said, Paul said, I commend unto you Phoebe. She's a woman. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church at Cenchrea. You mean here is a woman that is a servant in the church? Oh, yes. Now, I want to say this. I love you men, but if it wasn't for the women around here, they wouldn't much get done. The women clean, the women decorate, the women prepare the food, and us, like male chauvinist pigs, come in and eat it all. I was waiting on an amen out of that. Listen carefully. Which is a servant of the church of Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord. Now he's writing to the Roman church. She must be going to the Roman church. That you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her. Oh! That we assist her? Now that really got some of you men, didn't it? Me assist a woman? That's what the Bible said. I didn't write it. And he's talking to the whole church. That ye assist her? Why? I'm going to show you why. Listen carefully. In whatsoever business she hath need of you. Why? For she hath succored. That word means helper. She has been a succor of many and of myself also. Here is a woman that has been a helper in the house of God. I want to ask you something. Is anybody this morning flourishing as a helper in the house of God? Come on now. It ain't time to bless God, pick your nose and one thing or another. How many is flourishing today as a helper? That light bulb right there stayed burnt out for a month. And I come out here this week with a pair of pliers, turned the switch off to these lights up front, got glass all over the floor after Miss Jennifer just cleaned up, took a pair of pliers and twisted that little thing out and put a light bulb in it that anybody could have done, but nobody done it. Got a vacuum cleaner. Tried to sweep up the glass and suddenly realized that the little thing that sucks it up was missing. I went and got the other one, cleaned up all the glass off the pews and the floor. Put the vacuum cleaner up. I wonder how many people are flourishing as helpers in the house of God. Phoebe was a helper. Are you planted? Are you righteous? Are you old? Boy, it got quiet. Praise God, it got quiet.
Amen.
Flourished as a helper. Let me read this to you. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I wonder how many is flourishing in the harvest.
Amen.
Did anybody get tracts like I mentioned the other night?
Amen.
I walked in the Me and Miss Hall went up to Captain D's the other day. I went in the bathroom, took out a tract, laid it down in the bathroom, had to go back in there a little bit later. Somebody picked up my tract and threw it on the floor. I just reached down on the floor, picked it up and laid it back up again. I said, hey, sucker, I'll just put it there again for you.
Amen.
Are we flourishing in the harvest? When was the last time we told somebody about God?
Yeah.
What time is it? I'm talking about heart. I'm talking about flourishing. The righteous, he didn't say, might maybe shall flourish. And how? Like a palm tree and like a cedar tree of Lebanon.
Amen.
Those that are planted in the house of the God, the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Didn't say they might. Said they would.
Amen.
Are we flourishing as a helper?
Amen. Amen.
When was the last time you really jumped in and put your shoulder to it in a marathon? Or really jumped in and put your shoulder to it in the Jubilee?
Amen.
Really jumped into it and put your shoulder to it in revival. I'm telling you, we're going to have to put our shoulder to it this year. Brother Ryan McGuire is coming. He's going to preach 4 nights to the church and 3 mornings to the women preaching.
Amen.
Man preaching. Boy, it's got so quiet. I don't know. I know this is going to. Bible said in Romans 12:13, I'm not even going to mention this word until after I read the verse. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Is anyone flourishing in hospitality? Are we being hospitable to one another? When was the last time some of you had the preacher over for Sunday dinner?
Amen.
When was the last time mommies and daddies got together on Sunday dinner?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what. Everybody but Steve and Tammy was there. Ben and Angie come in later, but I'm going to tell you, last Sunday, we had our family, after we ate, over at the house. I'm going to tell you what. You can't beat it. Have your children in. If you're old enough to have your children in, Mama, hey, cook a meal for them. Have them kids and them grandkids over. Come on now!
Amen.
I'm talking about being hospitable. Are we hospitable toward preachers that come here?
Amen.
Do we show them, like Brother Steve said in Sunday school, respect? I told you I'd have to talk to you. I knew when I got on this, you'd die. If you died on that, and you're really going to die on this, Paul said in Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of the peace. Is anyone flourishing in harmony?
Amen.
Are we laboring? Hey, are we flourishing in harmony? Is our life harmonizing with everybody else in the house of God? Or are there grudges and hard feelings and problems and turmoil amongst people? I'm telling you, if there is, you're not flourishing in the house of God, and we're not going anywhere with God. If there's grudges in the house of God, call it off. We're not going anywhere. If there's hard feelings, and I'm telling you right now, you can't have hard feelings toward the pastor or the pastor's wife or family and be right with God. I don't care who you are. Harmony. Are we flourishing in harmony?
Amen.
I said to the men in Sunday school, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link.
Amen.
And the church is only as strong as its weakest person.
Amen.
That's all. Come on in the house. Harmony. Do you ignore some people? Run to others? Do you have hard feelings towards some people? I hope not.
Amen.
You cannot have hard feelings.
Amen.
And ignore people because they just don't fit in your little mold or your
Amen.
Little clique and flourish at the house of God. You might perform a little bit. But that's all it'll be, is a performance. It'll never touch the heart of anybody in the congregation. Harmony. Well, I don't like what the preacher said. Maybe God had him to say it for your benefit. Now we'll say number two. Flourishing in personal sanctification. Anybody flourishing in passion for the Savior?
Yeah.
Bible said in Song of Solomon 1:2, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. said in verse 3, because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is an ointment poured forth, therefore do the virgins love thee.
Amen.
I want to ask you something this morning. You love Jesus. I'm not talking about this, you come to church. I'm asking you, do you love Jesus?
Amen.
If you love Him, is that love flourishing? Oh, I wish I could just to print it out. Miss Hall's Valentine letter and brought it over here. I read it again last night, and every time I read it, she makes me cry.
Amen.
He said, it's a special time of the year. That it takes me back to when we got married, when we first met. The first time we saw one another. I remember that twinkle in your eyes. I hope it's still there. What I'm saying is, ladies and gentlemen, she probably didn't have the knowledge to write something like that 40 years ago when we got married. In fact, she couldn't have written it the way she did because she talked about remembering back then. So the point that I'm trying to make is, as we've grown older, we have learned to say things to one another that are words of love and endearment. And our love means more to us today than it ever has. And that's the question I'm asking you. Does your love for Jesus mean more today?
Amen.
Than it ever has? And you remember that morning or that night, that Saturday, that Sunday, that Wednesday, that Thursday. When you first met Him, do you remember the twinkle in His eye that He had for you?
Yeah.
Do you remember the love that He showed that day? Well, praise God, if you're righteous and if you're planted, that love, that passion ought to be flourishing today in the house of God. We're loving Him more today. Brother Brown sang that song, I Love Him More Than I Did Yesterday, or something like that. What about you, still in love? I'm going to whoop you if you ain't born. I have to catch you asleep and take a whip to you. Or you can get up. Then I'm going to run like a devil. Now, listen to me carefully. Deuteronomy 5:10. The Lord said, in showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me.
Amen.
Mercy commands His love. God help. I know it's getting late, but Lord, have mercy. When I was lost, I was between a rock and a hard spot and found no place to go and no way to get out. But thank God, a hand of mercy reached down into the depths of my dying soul when it was on its way to hell and felt the charred flames of the pit itself. Thank God, just in time, Jesus came along.
Amen.
And when I couldn't get out, mercy found me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That verse said mercy and truth have met together or something like that. Thank God for mercy. The fact that He showed mercy.
Amen.
When you were in a bind, you ever been in a bind?
Yes.
I was lost, I was in a bind.
Amen.
In that horrible pit, I'm telling you.
Yes.
The chains of death grappled with my soul. I felt the charred flames of hell burning in my members, but oh mercy, God showed mercy. And when I cried unto the Lord, He inclined unto my cry and extended mercy. Thank God, mercy, God's loving mercy brought us out of the horrible pit, ladies and gentlemen. And because of that mercy, we ought to flourish in our passion, our love toward Him. Hallelujah. Thank God. I like this. I don't know if you do or not, but I do. I want to say His Majesty commands our love. Psalm 18:1, David said, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. David here is a king of all Israel. And yet he loves the majestic glory of God more than he loves the kingship that he holds. Oh, what passion. Can you see him now? Come on, church. Do you see him high and lifted up? Sitting on a throne. Come on now, help Brother Hall. Praise God, I'm talking about His majestic glory. He is Lord of lords. He is King of kings. He is the one, the only potentate. He's He that has cast down all rule and authority.
Amen.
Going to bind the devil in chains for 1,000 years and then resurrect him only to cast him in a lake of fire.
Amen.
He's going to cast all the wicked and every nation that forgets God into hell.
Amen.
Are you wicked? If you are, you're going headlong like Judas into hell. We don't preach on hell much. But oh, thank God for His majestic glory. One day He will put down all authority under His feet. Better believe He will. Praise God. You know why? Because all power is given unto Him in heaven and in earth. What a Savior we have. Praise God, makes me want to have a running spell. About to have a running fit up on this mountain. Now this is the one I like more than any of them I've mentioned. His memory commands our love. Paul wrote this. He said, this cup is a New Testament in my blood. This do! As oft as you drink it! In remembrance of me, we're going to have communion here in a week or so. Praise God.
Yes.
As oft as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. How many of you this morning really remember Him? Hallelujah to God. And love Him because of the fond memory you have.
Yes.
Of that glorious day when He cut off your ponytail. Woo! That glorious day when He got that can of beer out of your hand. Woo!
Amen.
That glorious day when He got that dope out from between your fingers. Woo! That glorious day He cut Jacob's beard off.
Come on, preacher.
Your own would not look natural without one. It wouldn't. I kind of take on people as when I first meet them. Some of you, when I first, I ain't going to talk.
Amen.
I wish you'd see some of the pictures of some of our school kids.
Amen.
You really want to see something, buddy. I'm talking about memories. Ah, they're just memories, son. Just memories. He said, oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. In other words, look back to the cross. Remember my suffering. Remember the pain, the agony of my soul. Remember the sweat that became as great drops of blood. Remember the crown of thorns and the 40 lashes that I took. Remember that it was not the nails, but it was love that held me there.
Yeah.
And if it's love that held me there, it ought to be love that causes you to flourish in the house of God.
Yeah.
His memory commands our love. Remember? Remember that night, Brother Rick, when you jumped in that baptistry? I told that to somebody and they said, "Oh." I said, "I'm telling you, the man was a fool." I said, "He stood there." They said, "You mean he stood in the outside?" He stood in the baptistry in regular clothes with nothing but cold water. So we got it deep enough to baptize him. Man. Remember that night? Nimbo? This as oft as you do. Do in remembrance of me. Remember that night, Benny? You come out of that little bedroom, walked in there to where we was at, and said, "Daddy, I got to tell you something. It's probably going to make you mad." I said, "Foolish thoughts." He said, "Daddy, I just got saved in there in my bedroom."
Amen.
We rejoiced a little together there in the bedroom that night. Didn't make me mad. Son, since when people getting saved make a man mad?
Amen.
Woo! I remember those days when we loaded up them old trailers and trucks and headed out, babe, down the road. Looked worse than Jed Clampett. We left Livermore heading to Bible College. Horns was coming. People was coming around that U-Haul truck, and they just blowing the horn. I was just waving at them. Me and Benny, they were just waving at them. I thought, well, surely they know I'm going to Bible College. I'm going to be a big preacher. They honk. I was just waving at them. In a minute, I looked in the rearview mirror, and we had Tammy and Lisa's bicycles tied on the back of that, and one of them had fell off, and the rope was still around it, 50 foot back, and that bicycle just was there. Lord have mercy. Then we run out of gas. I'm here to tell you, folks, memories. But they're all memories of him. I remember the first day I walked in school. Thank God I remember the night that I walked out. Woo! I remember Son and Shoe above the church. I remember Rumsey. I could tell you some names about Rumsey. I remember the first Sunday morning when I stood here with a little old rostrum and taught Sunday school. Had an old ugly microphone and stuff. Had a big old yellow microphone come up out of this. Looked like a dragon's head coming up looking at you. And I thought, boy, here this place owns $1 million radio station and got equipment that looks like junk. And I remember when the building started filling up, and I remember when it emptied out. But some stayed. And I remember when it emptied out, filled up again and emptied out again, but some stayed. And it seems like every time some has stayed, and they that have stayed have gotten stronger in God. Because they have seen the battle. They know the storm that's raging. But they've been planted in the house of God. And the wind may blow and they may bend like a palm tree, but praise God they've never broken.
Yeah.
Flourishing. The house of God. Because they remember what God done for them.
Yeah.
And lifted your rotten, sorry hide out of sin.
Amen.
And planted you down to the house of God.
Amen.
I'm closing here. We are to flourish in poverty of spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Not blessed are the proud and the headed and the high-minded.
Amen.
You can suck a hand against me. I've never seen such pride in preachers today. One of the camp meetings I always go to is having two Mr. Prides there this year. I won't be there. I will not be there. That's right. I'm sick of crowd seekers.
Amen.
What we need is God seekers.
Amen.
When Mr. Proud leaves, whatever the people got in their hype will leave with it. But if God's around, and He decided to take a little trip away from us to test us and prove us, we'll hang around and be all right.
Amen.
And learn from it. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes 7:8, bitterness, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. We got anybody today flourishing in poverty? Spirit? Oh, somebody said, that makes you look like a little wimp. Is that right? Can I say this to the church? I won't tell you this. Some of you know it, some of you don't. I'm going to tell it at the end of the church. It won't take but a few minutes and we'll be done. Miss Hall sent me an email. At the top of that email, it had a certain man had died a couple of years ago. And it went on to say that people wonder why Lee Marvin, the movie star, is buried in a row with 3- and 4-star generals in Arlington National Cemetery. And all it says on his grave is Private Lee Marvin, United States Marine Corps. That's all it says. But people may wonder why that is. And it said Lee Marvin several years ago was interviewed on the Johnny Carson show. It said Johnny Carson asked him, said, Lee, I understand you was in Suribachi, Iwo Jima. He said, yeah, I was there. He said, I understand you were decorated with a decorated very highly for combat that day. He said, yeah, they put me in a hot spot and said, I just done my job. And said, I got wounded, said I got shot, same place Cater did. And said they carried me down the hill on the belly and said this sergeant handed me a smoke. And said they give me a Navy Cross. That's the second highest ranking medal can be given to a Marine. Lee Marvin got it, Navy Cross. He said, but Johnny said, I wasn't the brave man on the island that day. He said, there was a sergeant much braver than I am. Said that sergeant stood and motioned soldiers up. Is it Iribachi? The hill, Iwo Jima. It's Iribachi. Motioned him upward. In the heat of the battle, with bullets all around him, he stood flat-footed and said, he's much, much braver man. Said, by the way, said he got the same medal that day that I did. And he said, most Americans would never know who he is, but said he went on television by the name of Captain Kangaroo. Said he was a brave man. And he said there was another man that had 25 confirmed kills in Vietnam. Said he always wore a sweater to cover up the tattoos on his arm. Said he was a little wimpy fella. Said he could disarm or kill a man in a heartbeat. Said folks that watch television would know that man as Mr. Rogers. That they were the brave men. But I want to ask you this morning, and I say this not to be ugly or not to be carnal in any way, but I wonder where are the Captain Kangaroos, spiritually speaking, who will stand while the fiery darts of the devil is being fired all around them and march their churches on, march their families on, and lead their families on in the heat of the battle. Where are they? Where are the Lee Marvins? And I say this honestly, spiritually, that you can put in a hot spot in a battle and they refuse to move because they're planted in the house of God. Where are they? I hope there's some in here today that by getting on this altar, say, Brother Hall, I want to be like that tree that's flourishing. That righteous man that's flourishing. And that aged man that is flourishing in the house of God. Let's stand together.